Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and we're going to wrap it up today. But in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking here in verse 10. He wrote a letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Know ye, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and forever be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it can come alive, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We just thank you that there's so much here to learn from, to grow from, to be encouraged by. We just thank you for the letter from the Apostle Paul. We just pray that you'll speak through me this morning as we learn this morning. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen. There was an airline pilot who was flying over the Tennessee mountains. And he pointed out at a lake to his co-pilot. "You see that little lake?" he said. "When I was a kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing. Every time a plane would fly overhead, I'd look up and wish I was flying. Now I look down and I wish I was in a rowboat fishing." Contentment can be an elusive pursuit. We go after what we think will make us happy, only to find that it didn't work. In fact, we were happier before we started the quest. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Philippians. And I know all of us know Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Basketball players put it on their shoes, and athletes and different people, they all use this verse in any time that they need help, which is not a bad verse. But when we take it out of context and don't understand what's going on, we need to understand the scriptures. He's talking about contentment. He's talking about, it's not just give me the strength so I can go out and win my basketball game. He's talking about contentment. And here in America, I believe we have a lack of contentment. We see it in many ways. High rate of debt. We can't live within our means, so we go into debt to live just a bit better than we can. No matter how much you make, you spend a little more than you make. Maybe it's in a high rate of mobility. People rarely stay at one address for more than 5 years. We're always moving, looking for a better house, looking for a better job, a better place to live, a better place to raise the family, better place to retire. Some of the moves are demanded by the need for that decent job, but some of it's just fueled by discontentment. I think discontentment rears its head in our high divorce rate. If I switch to somebody else, if I trade in, I'll be happy with the next mate. I'll be happy with the next situation. I'll be happy with whatever happens. But until we become content with ourselves and content with the Word of God and content in our life, there's nothing or nobody or anything that can make you content. You will always be striving to find something better if we can't become content today. You can see here in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he's sitting in prison because of corrupt officials. He's waiting possible execution over false charges. But somehow he finds contentment. The Philippian church had sent him a financial gift, and he wanted to express his heartfelt thanks for them. But at the same time, he doesn't want to give the impression that the Lord was not sufficient for his every need. Even though he had been in a very difficult situation, you can see in verse 14, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." He doesn't want his donors to think he had been discontent before that financial stuff arrived. He was content before, he was content after, he was content during. You can see throughout Apostle Paul's life, his contentment. So first off, we're going to start with what is contentment? It comes from a Greek word that means self-sufficient or independent. The Stoics elevated this word, the ability to be free from all wants or needs, as the chief of all virtues. This clearly is not the sense in which Paul meant the word. You can see in verse 4:10, he shows that he rejoiced in the Lord greatly when he received the gift, not because of the money, but because it showed the Philippians the heartfelt love and concern that they had for him. The concern that they had for the church, the concern they had for the body of Christ. Paul was not detached from people nor from his feelings. He loved people dearly. And verse 4:13 also shows us that it's not a self-sufficient contentment. The only place that we can receive contentment is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's the only place that we can find true contentment. Now, I also want to take it a step further because I don't believe contentment means complacency. I've seen it in people's lives where they say, well, I'm going to just allow, maybe you're in career or in your life or in your job. You sit there and say, I'm going to wait for that phone to ring. But if you don't do anything to get that phone to ring, it's not going to happen. The Lord has given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us a job here on this earth. And whatever those talents and abilities are, you need to use them. So we got to be careful with contentment and complacency. It's always like that story of the old farmer down the road. A guy walks up and sees his farm and all the flowers growing and the beautiful landscaping and everything that he has. He says, man, the Lord has really blessed you. And he said, he sure did. But you should have saw it before when he had it all to himself. We have to put in the energy. We have to put in the effort. We have talents. And many times we sit back and say, well, I'll allow the Lord to feed me. I'll allow the Lord to give. We've got to be, it's a giving and a taking as all together. As Christians, we can work to better our circumstances. There's many opportunities that we have in life. The Bible talks about hard work and the rewards that come from it. So what does contentment mean? I believe true contentment is an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. When we can have the peace of God, that passes all understanding. It means to have our focus on the church, have our focus on the body of Christ, have our focus on eternal things. You know, if the Lord grants us material comforts, we can thankfully enjoy them. It all comes from Him. But also we seek to use it for His purpose by being generous. Contentment also means not being battered around by difficult circumstances or people. No matter what happens to us or what others do to us, we have the steady assurance that the Lord is for us and He will never forsake us. So how do we acquire contentment? I'm sure everybody here today has contentment. We're good. It's easy. Life's perfect. Just the way that we had it planned out. I think the secret for contentment in every situation is to focus on the Lord as sovereign, as Savior, as the sufficient one. Contentment comes from focusing on the Lord as sovereign. And it's funny, the older I get, the easier this comes for me, as well as the harder it gets for me. You know, Paul mentions that the Philippians had revived their concern for him. And that word was used of flowers blossoming or of trees leafing out in the springtime. He is quick to add that they always had been concerned, but they lacked opportunity. We do not know what had prohibited their sending a gift sooner. Maybe it was a lack of funds, not having a reliable messenger, maybe not knowing about Paul's circumstances. But whatever that reason, Paul knew that God was in control. You know, we always think there's a need that we need right this minute. And when we can sit back and say, God's sovereign plan for my life. You know, whether your president won or didn't win or whatever it is, we may be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. You know, there's people out there that are like, this is perfect for the world. This is great. And there's other people that can't believe this is happening. But God is in control. God knew Paul's needs. God will supply. You know, as I began studying, I think Paul had a policy of not making his financial needs known to anyone. I believe he prayed about it. I believe he let the Lord know his financial needs. And here in Philippians, he's in prison and he can't do his tent making trade. He's in a tight spot, that affliction. And he wrote many letters. He wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to the Colossians, Philemon. And many times he asked for prayer, but he never mentions his financial needs. Rather, he asked for prayer for boldness. He prays for faithfulness. And he trusts and he submitted to God Almighty to provide for his needs. And I think there's times that God supplied abundantly. And Paul had learned how to live in prosperity. But sometimes God withheld support. Paul had to learn how to get along with humble means. He did not grumble or panic, but submitted to the sovereign hand of God. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Six and seven says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Whatever situation you're in, the Lord cares for you. The Lord loves you. We may not understand what's happening, but know you are where you need to be. You're here today for a reason. What you went through last week happened for a reason. It's God's sovereign will. Paul learned to be content in all conditions. And I don't think it came naturally to him. I don't think he woke up and said, oh, I'm content, I'm good. It wasn't an instantaneous transformation. It's a process. It's something that we learn from walking each and every day with the Lord. But the Lord uses all our circumstances to train us for something in the future, for something now, to build your character, to build your life. George Mueller proved the sovereign faithfulness of God in the matter of finances. He lived in the 19th century, Bristol, England, where he founded an orphanage. He and his wife had taken literal Jesus' command to give away all their possessions. He gave everything away. They had no personal resources. He was firmly committed to the principle of not making his financial needs known to anyone except to God in prayer. He was extremely careful not even to give hints about his own needs or the needs of the orphanage. The children never knew about any financial difficulties, nor did they ever lack good food, clothes, or warmth. There were times when Mueller's faith was tried, when the Lord took them down to the wire before supplying the need. On February 8, 1842, they had enough food in all the orphan houses for that day's meals, but no money to buy the usual stock of bread or milk for the following morning. And two houses needed coal. Mueller noted in his journal that if God would not send help before 9 the next morning, his name would be dishonored. The next morning, Mueller walked to the orphanage early to see how God would meet their need, only to discover that the need had already been met. A Christian businessman had walked about a half mile past the orphanage, toward his place of work when a thought occurred to him that Mueller's children might be in need. He decided not to retrace his steps then, but to drop off something that evening. But he couldn't go any further and felt constrained to go back. He gave a gift that met their need for the next 2 days. Mueller knew many instances like that where God tried his faith. If you're walking with God and you find yourself in a desperate situation, you're not there by chance. The sovereign God has put you there for your training, for his purpose, for his will, for his life, for your life. It could be a small crisis. It could be a major life-threatening crisis. But submit to God's sovereign will. Contentment comes from focusing on the Lord as the Savior whom I must serve. The reason Paul knew that God would meet his basic needs was it's what Jesus promised. You can see in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It's not all our wants. It's not everything that I think I should have. He will supply all your needs. Jump back with me to 1 Timothy as well. Or page forward after Philippians. 1 Timothy. God will take care of our basic needs. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." When our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and on doing what he has called us to do, growing in personal holiness, growing in spirituality, growing in the Word of God, growing in our life, we can be content with what he provides. He supplies our needs. Most of us living in America have far, far more than our needs. We live in luxury here in America. Even if we live in a house that's too small or only have one car, you know, people in other countries squeeze 10 people in a home. We live in luxury here in America. I read a story about a Jewish man in Hungary who went to his rabbi and complained, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered, "Take your goat into the room with you." The man was upset, but the rabbi insisted, "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man returned looking more distraught than before. "We can't stand it," he told the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi said, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." A week later, the man returned radiant, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now. There's no goat, only the 9 of us." Perspective helps. It's all in the way you see things. Perspective helps. If you live for yourself and your own pleasure, you will not ever have contentment. You will never have God's contentment. If you follow Paul in living to serve the Savior, you can be content. Whether you have a little bit, whether you have a lot, wherever you're at in life, where your treasure is, your heart will be. If your treasure is in this world and earthly things and what we can do for ourselves, where your treasure is, your heart will be. That's in Matthew chapter 6:21. Contentment comes from focusing on the Lord as the sufficient one whom I must trust. Apostle Paul said that he had learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And I think the secret is found in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The all-sufficient indwelling Christ was Paul's source of strength and contentment. Since Christ cannot be taken from the believer, we can lean on him in every situation, no matter how trying that situation is. When we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we can have the peace of God, we can have the strength of God, we can have the contentment of God. Our life is at peace. You know, he even says here, notice that there is a need to learn not only how to get along in times of need, but also how to live with abundance. Sometimes when we're in need, we curse God. And when we have abundance, we don't think we need God. So wherever you're at in life, you've got to decide. Where are you? Contentment must come along with it. There's a balance between God's part and our part. Some Christians put too much emphasis on, I can do all things. The human responsibility. You end up burning out because I cannot do all things in my own strength. Others put too much emphasis on through him who strengthens me. These folks sit around passively not doing anything. We got to both work with him. The Lord wants us to work with him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the Apostle Paul said. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but by the grace of God which was with me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In Philippians 4:13, the verb is present tense, meaning God's continual, day by day, infusing me with strength as I serve him. You've got to go back to the Word of God daily. You have to go back to him and learn from him. You have to constantly be in the Word to gain the strength that you need, so we can continually learn and grow from him. Contentment comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in life we say, if I get that bigger house, I'll be happy. If I get that better job, I'll be happy. And we will never gain enough to have true contentment until we're content with what we have today. We have to understand true contentment. Maybe this is the first time that you've been in church. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Faith is taking God at his word, believing the word of God, understanding the word of God, and saying, yes, I believe that. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. 2,000 years ago, he took my sins upon that cross. And sins are not some label of murder, abortion, wrongdoing, alcohol. That's not what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. When you compare yourself to the Almighty, Holy God, you fall short. Romans says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We miss that mark. In Isaiah, it says, "Our righteousness is like filthy rags." He went to the cross for you and I. And if you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And that's where you'll gain your true contentment. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the secret of true contentment. It's to be captivated by Christ, to fall into that sovereignty, to know that you are sovereign to who we submit. You are the Savior whom I serve, and you are the sufficient one whom I trust in every situation. Many times it's hard to trust. Many times it's hard to submit. Many times we don't understand the situation. We could lose a loved one. We could be in an accident. We could have something happen. We could end up with cancer. But if we could see the whole picture, we would understand the plan that unfolds for your glory and honor. We just thank you that in Jesus Christ we can have true contentment. Whether we have a lot, whether we have a little. It doesn't matter where you're at in life, we've got to find that contentment, and it has to come from the peace from within. We thank you for the many blessings, Lord. We thank you for your word of God, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.